Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And we have had a bit of a break. We had a cut because of the F-L-U.
Oh, you spelled it out,
flu.
Huh?
No E at the end. But, yes, no E at the end. I don't know. Growing up, I always put an E at the end. I don't know why.
But the E was silent.
But the E was silent. Because, you know, E's are always silent when you're learning how to spell. And then, but, you know, like, then the teachers say, no, it's not F-L-U-E. It's just F-L-U. I'm like, but isn't the E silent? Not here, it's not. You know, there's no rule for that. And so we're Christine, Marie, and Julie, and we're your coaches, your psychotherapist mama. Say hi, mama.
Hi, mama.
Yeah. She's 5 days behind me. And so I'm feeling up to par, and she's not quite there yet.
No, I'm not. So I wonder if I'll ever be there.
Yeah. You're at that stage of the flu where you're just like, will I ever get better? Will I ever feel better? Yeah. And why has God forsaken me?
And everything just bugs me.
Oh, yeah. You've been crabby as mom for quite a while now. And, I'm living with crabby ass mom and crabby ass dad because I'm just like, boy, I don't know if I can handle this. This is like, it's been
welcome
hard.
Welcome to your future.
Yeah, welcome to my future. Hello. How's it going there?
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm feeling kind of better enough. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have a show tonight because I have so much to share with everybody.
I know. You're just like, please, can we have a show? I go, I'm not going to participate too much. But
so I'm going to talk about Hamilton because I was able to be one of the lucky ones to see Hamilton. I saw it last Friday and I medicated myself completely. I know I was 2 weeks into my episode, so I figured I was good to go. Mm-hmm. But I had that lingering cough, and so I medicated myself completely. I want to talk about an incident I experienced at Walmart where I experienced ageism for the person for the checker that was dealing with me, and I didn't know how to come to defend him, to come to his honor, you know, back him up, because I wanted to almost have like a Me Too thing for him, because I felt like, oh no, he could be, we need to have like a Me Too for ageism, you know, for our aging population. So I want to share that a little bit because I feel like it's necessary now. We're doing it. and because we've been under the weather, what do you do when, at least for me, when you're under the weather and you don't have a stomach flu, you just have the aches and the pains, you watch bad movies and you eat carbs.
Yes.
And so
that's the only treat.
That is the, it's like, and so I have
bad movies and carbs,
and I've done both. And you said to me yesterday, you said, Julie, when's it gonna stop for you? When's this gonna stop, the carb thing? And I'm like, or I maybe I've said to you, like, hey, I like, tomorrow, Monday. Monday will stop.
Well, I noticed that I must be feeling better because I have orange fingertips from eating fake Cheetos.
Yes.
You know, we have a little store called Aldi's, and they do everything as a, their brand is a knockoff brand.
Yeah.
And so you can get Cheetos and...
For a dollar. A big bag for a dollar.
Big bag, yeah. And it was like... what movie was it? It's in the dark, or it came in the dark.
At night.
Something like that.
It comes at night.
Yeah, so it was like that movie and Cheetos and ginger ale.
Yeah, and you thought, I couldn't be any happier than I could possibly at this moment
for being very sick. Yeah.
You know, because you're not feeling good. You need something dry. But the Cheetos were salty and a little sweet. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I heard, I think it's a rumor. It was a fake thing that came over the internet. And that was that that Doritos came up with a woman Doritos. Doritos for women. Because women don't like, they like to be quieter when they eat. And Doritos are a little too loud. Mm. And they get stuck in the roof of your mouth. You know, the little triangle. Angle parts, which has happened to me, and then the orange fingers, you know, which is one reason why people like the ranch Doritos, because it's not orange on your fingers. But then I guess Snoop's said, no, that's not true. They already have female Doritos, and they're just called Doritos. They're just Doritos. And somebody was like, yeah, I mean, like, what year is this? Is it like 1950 where women have to be so delicate and we can't make noises when we eat our Doritos?
That's funny.
Our potato chips? No, we have to be, we can do that. But, you know,
although I have to tell you, during this time when I was, I had some chips and I've had some, you know, Cheetos and stuff.
Yeah.
The noise has bugged me. In my head. You know, just
the noise that you make or the noise that I make?
Noise that I make.
Okay.
In my own head.
Interesting.
Chewing.
Well, that's very funny or interesting because I could have gotten the Cheetos that were the puffs. The Cheeto fakes that are puffs.
They kind of melt in your mouth.
Yeah. Those they don't make any sound. Yeah. But you were very specific. You said, I want the crunchy Cheetos.
Yes.
And so I got them. I think they're called Clancy's. You know, Clancy's Cheetos. Clancy Cheese something. I don't know. Something. Whatever made up name they have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They really could call them Clancy's Cheese Turds because they kind of look like little cheese turds. I don't know.
But everything is a thing, isn't it? Everything can be a knockoff.
It can be. But it's funny because where you're at in your recovery, every noise bugs you.
Yes.
If I'm having a little coughing jag, I'll look really quick and I'll see you roll your eyes like I can't effing handle one more person making a loud gesture in my life.
Yeah.
You know, Norman.
Oh, I know. Like Dad said something today. I can't even remember what I go. Do you have to shout that?
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm shouting.
I'm shouting.
But he was, for me, it was like shouting.
And, you know,
it's like being, it's like having an email in all caps.
Caps. Like, yes. It feels like your life's volume has been turned up.
Yeah.
And all you want is a mute and you can't get it.
Right.
And you just, it's like the world is just not.
I just want to sleep, and I can't feel better, good enough to sleep.
Right, you don't feel good enough to sleep.
No,
and you don't feel like you can sleep because when you are sleeping or trying to rest, you feel guilty for sleeping.
No, I just feel like I'm tired of hearing the wheezing in my chest. Then I cough, I get a plug up, and then 5 minutes later, there's another mother mucus plug.
Yeah, and you just go, you know, it's not true what they say about getting 12-hour relief from all these from that.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's such a big full lie. Yeah. I mean, you just want to scream.
I saw this commercial for Delsym.
Yeah.
12 hours of relief. And it's commercial. I go, Julie, go get it.
We're going to be all on it.
Yeah. And it was like not even 4 hours.
Yes. Not even. I would think like an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it took care of, I think I took it with me to Hamilton, and it took care of that moment, that sacred moment when you go from outside of it being 7 degrees and inside where it's 60 or 65. And for whatever reason, that change in temperature just aggravates your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And all you want to do is cough. And at that moment, I'm like, I'm going to down some Desalin. I'm going to down an Evry Cola, and I'm just going to fight that urge to cough.
Although you did say it to me at one point in that whole Hamilton thing that you wanted to pass out.
Oh, it was very weird. Yes, about 15 minutes into this performance, realizing there were no words. I mean, like, it was all rap. It was all music. And I had to get
into it. You just now found that out.
I thought there would. I mean, I've been into other musicals, and there usually is some connecting dialogue. But I don't think there was any connecting dialogue. Mm-hmm. It was just all music. And
is it really music?
It's rap.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. Yeah. Rap is rap. But does it have a different, there's different musical raps? Or the,
they had everything, an orchestra.
So there is different music. Cause does everything just sound like,
okay, like each character had their own specific kind of rhythm. So, and like, the king that comes in and gives a comic relief, I would take his character like on Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. You know, the Pharaoh comes out and he does his little Elvis impersonator. You know, and that's the comic relief. And then when the king comes out and he does his little singing, it's very reminiscent to me of like Monty Python kind of stuff. And you go, oh, this is hysterical. I love this. And so, and then you have a French dude rapping his French way, and you have Hamilton rapping his Hamilton way, and you have his wife singing, you know, very Disney-like, you know, very melodic and so forth. And the only thing...
So is it everything you thought it would be?
Okay. The answer is yes and more. Oh. And the answer is I could tweak it for them, such as I would have liked to had words mm-hmm. in the bulletin, you mm-hmm. know, or, you know, you get that. It's not called a church bulletin. What's it called? You get the mm-hmm. thing from the play mm-hmm. and it says
the bill.
The bill, right?
Play bill.
It would have been lovely to have words of every song in there. I could read it along and like, oh, here's a story. And the main parts, it was in the chorus and they rap the chorus and you're like, you know, like, you know, you only get one shot. God, don't forget your shot. Like, here's your shot, you know, or make your move, something like that. Like, hey, get one chance in life and take it. And, so that was interesting, you know. I'm trying to think now. Like, there are some parts in there, and I'm wondering if they were spoken or were they sung. And it was about the finding out whether or not George Washington really, like, because Hamilton is in George Washington's pocket for the most part. Like, Hamilton wants to go out and fight in the Revolutionary War. And George Washington's like, you're a thinker, man. I need you here by my side, because when this is all over, I need you to do some stuff for me, you know? And he's like, man, you know, he's all full of testosterone. He's like, I gotta go out there and fight. That's my, you know, I'm fighting for my country. And he's like, no, dude, you know, dial it back a little bit. You're a rider, not a fighter. You're a lover, not a fighter. So he's like, I'm both, you know? And so, but he was in charge of writing the Constitution and, you know, you know, then he had to write all these articles to prove how great the Constitution was going to be. And he was just like, we get you. Okay. You had no YouTube. You had no Netflix. There was no such thing as cable. And, you needed to do a lot of writing. You were a deep thinker and you wrote and you developed our financial situation, our financial product of the United States. Good for you.
And that's why we made him head of the $10 bill.
Yeah. Just a $10. Not the 20, yeah. Not the 100, the 10. You know why? Because who doesn't have a $10 bill in their pocket, you know? But this is the thing I love about being an American. You know, everybody has had a $10 bill in their pocket a lot, right? Their whole life, you know, for the most part. I'll be damned if I had to look again. Like, who the hell is on the $10 bill?
Oh, you did not know.
Hamilton. I'm like, that's right.
Who's on the dollar?
Mm-hmm. Lincoln's 5. George is 20.
George is 20?
Is he in the $20 bill, George
so
Washington?
So who would be on the
dollar bill?
Dollar bill.
I don't know. Now I got to look it up. I don't know. You know, I mean, I've had dollar bills in my pocket.
You sure it's not George Washington?
I'm going to find out. How do I bing that, mother? Who's on the dollar bill? Who? Oh, no. Who is on?
This is when I think our podcast gets great. Bills. When we just stop and just do stuff.
You asked for it. Oh, great. Because then they got...
Who was it?
Well, no, they gave me the cast of Bill.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, forget you. But then who was on your bill? Who was on your money? Oh, come on. I mean, yeah, no, we're
see,
not doing
isn't
it.
The whole world?
Yeah.
It's all. Isn't here's the thing. Yeah. The whole world has become just a lie.
A lie.
Because you say, oh, I'm going to go to this website and find out who's on all our bills.
And I checked
That's
it.
Not true.
And I got a That's story. Not true. It's sort of like when I go to Pinterest and I Google a Pinterest.
How do I make caramel corn, which yes. is what you and Doug have been doing for the last. He's been like relentless
yes.
and in calling and talking about making popcorn. He wants to make a protein-based caramel corn.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, if I have to hear this one more time, but you go to Pinterest and you say it protein-based, you know, caramel corn, and then you hear, "Oh, my great granny, yeah. she lived in Tennessee, and when she,
yeah.
when she made some whiskey,
yeah.
and we tried it in the caramel corn." And
I
that's
don't care
when,
about your story. Did I ask how it came to be? This.
But see, you need to have that story because you might eventually get a half a penny for that story.
Right,
and you put enough of those together, and you don't have to work another day in your life.
Right,
right.
That's yeah. the lie.
And you go, hey, what do you do for a job? I'm a blogger.
I'm a food blogger.
I'm a writer.
I'm a travel blogger.
I travel.
I'm a travel and food blogger. Mm-hmm. Like, how the hell did you get that gig? Well, yeah.
Oh, and also, like,
and I showed
we had
my
to
boobs.
Hear. and I showed my boobs.
Yeah. I was in bikinis in a lot of different ways.
Well, that was interesting because we did hear, we were on our WGN show that we listened to. He was, who was the guy that did America's Funniest?
Bob Saget.
Yeah, he said that he was like, oh, you know, he's in Chicago and he's like reading this food and travel blogger site.
On Instagram.
And he's like, oh, she's fascinating. I am 65, and she's like in her mid-30s or something.
That's okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I do know Ro Khan.
Yeah.
He's a WGN personality. Maybe he knows this girl. And so he calls Ro Khan up and goes, you know, I'm interested in this food and travel blogger. I can tell you about her, and I'll give you her number. And and now they're
getting married.
They're getting married.
They're engaged.
Isn't that sweet?
Yep.
They met online.
I always
kind of sweet, and she's a food and travel blogger.
Yes, and is very busy and very successful. As a food
so
and
successful,
travel.
It does help that she has double D's.
It looked like it when I saw a picture of her.
Me too.
And I'm not saying that's the reason why, because I don't want to judge her in a certain way. But I still don't understand. Like, I've yet gone to any blog travel blog. I've yet gone to any travel blog. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have yet gone to any. I mean, like, and when I go to a food blog. If you don't give me the recipe, I don't really care. I don't care about your story. I'm sorry. I want to know how to make this. Mm-hmm. And is it good? You know?
Well, now we know that there are people out there that just eat. In other words, they get people to watch them eat.
Oh, yes.
That's the newest thing. Like,
and they're like, hey, and we know that you can't eat carbs.
Or anything.
Or
really.
Anything to stay svelte.
But you want to watch us eat.
I'll eat a box. I'll be the pizza for you. And I'll talk to you while I'm eating a pizza. And I'll explain it to you, like, how good this pizza is.
And it would help if I do it in French.
Yes, because that would
be... You get extra points for that.
I will just narrate my day in French. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you can just check in on me. And I'll narrate my day. Like, and then here's the thing. People going, she's making money doing that? She's just narrating
her
day.
And she never has to leave her apartment.
She's just narrating her life. And she's got a million followers. I'm not seeing it. Maybe I should start narrating my day. Mm-hmm. And then you go, did I miss the boat on narrating my life?
You missed a boat, Julie.
Like somewhere down the Mississippi, I could have been narrating my life and getting all these clicks and stuff like that. But like I thought that's
you
ridiculous.
Could have had the camera on me having ginger ale and eating my Cheetos, watching a dark, dark movie.
Yes. And going, well, and let's just also do a little movie review at this moment. Because this is the one time I disagree with the critics. And agreed. Well, I usually agree with the audience. You know, we go to Rotten Tomatoes and they have the score. And usually Rotten Tomatoes audience is higher than the critics.
Yes.
But this time, the critics love this movie. It came at night. And I can't remember who directed it, but it was a director.
Joel somebody. Or,
no, that was the producer. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so basically it's post-apocalyptic. You know, some kind of major ass virus came by and killed everybody, but no one knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. The grid's down, cities are destroyed.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody knows what's going on except that if you get this, you die a day.
Yeah,
and everybody's scared of everybody. It's all scary. Life is hard,
and really, I bet it could have cost $1,000 to make this movie.
I mean,
it was all outside and in a
house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think literally the sets didn't cost much.
No.
But I think movies now with professional actors, no matter what, cost a couple million. You know, let's just put that out there. We could have done it with our iPhones under $1,000.
Yep.
You give me $1,000 to put this movie together. I'll put it together.
You'll do it, girl.
I'll do it. 9 minutes.
You're becoming a great editor.
Well, and here's the thing, too. You said, you know, it met your criteria, which was a 90-minute movie. And
right.
This is a 90-minute movie.
91.
It couldn't have been any longer. You would have gone insane.
No.
It was like, well.
Really? Come on. Just die.
Just die now.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going, there is no point to living.
Yeah.
We live until we die. Let's live morally.
Well, I just think it's hysterical because if you would have watched this movie, this is, I think, what Jim Baker sells.
He sells fear, apocalyptic fear.
He sells apocalyptic fear.
Yes.
And if you would have seen this movie,
and
to have a year of troubled times dry food in the basement, it would not have made me want to live through that.
Yeah, you're going, and then what?
Yeah.
Okay, so I live a year, and at the end of this year, you know, I'm now hungry.
I've been living on dried pancakes.
Yep. Macaroni and cheese,
And
black
potatoes.
And black bean hamburgers.
And mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And for a year, we're doing everything we can. We've read all of our books over and over again, and all of our spiritual books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and luckily, since there's no power or anything, the sun does charge some things up, so they can have a little bit of light at night.
Yes. Oh, right. They charge it. They have a solar, sometimes they have a little solar panel.
Something. That charges everything up at night.
Yeah.
And what happens when that goes?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then what happens? You don't have a solar panel guy fixer-upper.
No.
You know, so.
So, and I'm going to say something, too, about Jim Baker.
Yeah.
I did buy something in December from him.
Yes, in December.
I was really interested in this pH water thing. Mm-hmm. It was a filter, and it was like, oh, my God, you need this for your immune system. And I just, like, had to have it.
Yeah.
Now, I think I ordered it at the end of November.
Yeah.
And I did not get it yet. I've called several times. And supposedly, some come in every day, and then they ship out what they can.
Right.
And we don't know when we'll get it. Mm-mm. Nobody said anything. Nobody said that you could. So I think we even asked for our money back. And
we
they
did.
Went, I don't know if we're going to give that back to you or not.
No, they said we could request it, but we may just send out the product anyway.
We just don't know. And I'm thinking, you know, Jim, this is why you got in trouble.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago.
You pre-sold,
you oversold stuff, and now you think you're safe because you're selling actual things, and you're still doing the same damn thing. And here's the thing, you can sell all the fear you want. The world's coming to an end, the plague is here, you're going to have to, and if I don't get my thing in like 200 days,
yeah,
what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point?
Well, And I
hope he's listening to me.
Well, I agree. I hope he is too, because he needs to shape up. In a world where we have Amazon or even Walmart or any other online store, JCPenney does a better
Target.
Job. Target. They all do a better job. And you're expecting it within a week. I give people a week.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll give them like 10 days if it's like a catalog.
Yeah. Now, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not to have me call twice now, or three times.
Three times.
And say, hey, where's my three bottle bottles?
And they act like, you know what? You're part of the faithful.
Yeah.
Just trust us.
Trust us.
We'll get there.
I'm like, no, dude. I'll trust you if you would have been honest with me.
Yeah.
Now I feel you've lied to me.
You did lie.
If you would have said, hey, they're on back order.
On back order, or we're pre-selling this.
Or we're pre-selling. They'll come in the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'll buy and then don't charge my card until they come.
Don't charge me, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if they have or not. I have to look and see. I mean, I'm sure they charged us. I remember seeing. It's been so long, though. They think you forget.
Yeah.
And it's now just a donation.
And they're just hoping that you will. Yeah, and now that, see, you don't understand how pissed I get about that.
I know, you get really.
I get really pissed.
Yeah.
Because I'm a person that appreciates charity.
Yeah.
I appreciate being able to give and help things.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be, don't do this to me.
No.
Don't do that and then count on the goodness of my heart that right. You're going to have engage in bad business practices.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now I'm just mad.
Well, yeah, and he's growing as well. He's growing his store, his online business, and you think, dude, don't grow because you haven't mastered this level yet.
No.
If once you master this level, then grow. But it is so frustrating.
It's frustrating.
And if you need...
And there's a huge... Julia, there's a huge disconnect between them having these people on that are like, oh, you know, Chicken Little. And
yeah, you need it now. It can happen tomorrow.
Now, you need a year.
You need to have your 6 months of food to yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when you buy it, it's going to take 4 to 5 months. Well, what the hell happens in 4 to 5 months?
That's a huge disconnect.
Yeah, what happens if the world ends?
Yeah, and there's no price for them to pay?
No, you're exactly right.
Nobody else could get away with that.
No.
Nobody else could.
And he comments saying, we asked you guys to be patient with our shipping department. No, don't ask us to be patient. You are selling a good. We expect it in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, 3 weeks even. Not 8 to 10 weeks.
Mm-mm.
Not 3 to 4 months.
Mm-mm.
Don't sell it. And because it then becomes I have to chase you down for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And like, it is a donation. And then,
and then I have to rearrange it in my mind. Oh, I just gave you $80 yeah. or $100.
Yeah. Because I already had to negotiate the fact that these are $10 water bottles and you charge me $10 a piece for shipping. I had already negotiated that in my head. Like, that's how you figured it out and done it, did it. Now I have to go, oh, wait a minute. Now it's all just a gift,
mm-hmm.
a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to call now and waste my time.
Yeah.
And I'm just angry because mm-hmm. is the world coming to an end that I need this stuff today?
Yeah.
Or, oh, you got time. Don't worry. No worries.
Mm-hmm.
No worries. You know.
I'm just so sick of it.
I know.
And you know, I used to be like this girl that loved watching the news because it was funny.
Yeah.
And now I'm just pissed.
Yes.
I can't even, I used to like, guys, you got to turn on Fox because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, everybody's just got the lie down. Yeah. Well, this person said they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And even like Trump said, that's not my voice that you hear where I call, you know, I grab them by the pussy. That's not my voice. He says that.
Yeah. So now he just denies.
Everybody just denies everything.
Yeah.
There's just no...
So there is no real reality.
There's nothing good anymore
no.
about anything.
No.
The only thing that's really good right now is like Jack. Little yeah. Jack.
Little Jack.
He's not spoiled by the world yet.
No. And you just go, like, however it's meant to be, like, what will his world look like in 20 years? What will his world... He'll be 22. What will his world look like? I'm curious about what the world will look like in 20 years, you know? And if you go back 20 years from today, you know, we have new technology, but we still have the same issues. You know, we still have mm-hmm. the exact same issues we're dealing with before.
Mm-hmm.
And so things don't change as much as we think they change.
Mm-mm.
It's just that, you know, I think our journeys are always the same.
Like I was thinking the other day about medical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the old days, a person could be a good doctor
mm-hmm.
and understand the whole thing. But everything is so piecemealed out.
Yeah, compartmentalized. Like, you got this.
Yeah, like even with like Dad and his dental tourism thing.
Yeah.
It's or even with you, like you need an amount of good some work, but they want to orchestrate it. Like first, you got to get $1,000 cleaning.
Yeah, literally, I have to get $1,000 cleaning. Like what?
And then we'll see how many cavities you really have.
Right.
And then we'll think about doing this. And you're like, I hurt this tooth. Fix it.
Yeah. Can you just fix this area?
No, I can't do that.
No.
I don't know how to do that.
No.
I only know one stupid ass way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, I mean, I can remember when there were just like good old fashioned doctors.
Right.
That could look at you and go, oh, you need this. But now it's like, oh, wait a minute. You got to go to this department because they'll do this.
Yeah.
And then you got to go to this. But no. And then is there anybody that's looking at all of it?
No.
And can coordinate it?
And no, you're the actual one that has to coordinate it all. And it never does get completely coordinated.
No.
And I look at my own Lyme disease and how...
That's what I'm thinking of.
You know, how I was supposed to go back to my neurologist.
Right.
And I remember going to my ophthalmologist neurologist. And I asked him, I said, hey, do I have to go back to my neurologist now? Because I'm now seeing you, which you're an ophthalmologist and neurologist. And he said, no, you can just see me. You don't have to go back to the neurologist. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else going on. You don't have MS. This is mm-hmm. we can just deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's good. But you know, but the truth is I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. there are things that are going on that nothing as a whole is being addressed.
I know, like here's how I feel. Like, you know, you go to these, you know, doctors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be different like if like at the end of the year, oh, like you had, you know, like laser surgery on your eyes.
Right.
And you had like a facelift.
Right.
Or a tummy tuck.
The difference at the end of the year, you felt better. Yeah.
But at the end of a year, all you did was like go to all these different things. It's a big, you know, ends up waste of time. And nobody's really coordinating. And everybody sees you for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
And all you're doing is you're hopefully... keeping at bay the bad shit that's coming your way. That's all I'm supposed to be doing.
I don't know.
Because all I'm doing is, like, hopefully not going blind in my one eye. That's what I'm not doing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I don't see how that's actually doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just trusting that my body can heal itself enough, and the medication that I'm on will work together in tangent.
Exactly. You know, like, I did call my doctor and say, you know, I got the flu or something, you know.
Yeah.
And usually I'm better in a week or 10 days, and I'm not.
Right.
I mean, I just have these big coughing jags. Right. I don't feel good.
Right.
I don't even feel anything like my former self.
Right.
And like, well, give it another week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but don't come in here.
Don't come in.
Don't come in here.
No. There's no point. Just weigh it out. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then...
So then you end up going, well, I guess I have to go to the... If I don't get better, I have to go to the emergency room.
Right.
Because it takes like 3 or 4 weeks to get in to see my doctor.
Right. Exactly. But if you're in the emergency room and then you get checked in, she'll come and visit you. Check in with you. You're like...
There's something wrong here.
I know. It all is just crazy.
It's all just stupid-ass protocol.
Yeah, that's
what it is. Does anybody really care anymore?
They care as much as they're allowed to care, or they can care.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Because people like, remember you said, oh, I couldn't be a doctor because I'd care if people died.
Right.
So you end up getting all these people that really don't care too much.
Right.
You know,
they can compartmentalize, like, hey, people die. You know,
yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. We do the best we can. You know, we take care of it. We'll do the best we can.
For some reason, right now, I'm like, damn. Why couldn't Andy Griffith just be the president? You know, he'd care.
He'd care.
He'd be Matlock.
Yeah.
Not Andy Griffith.
It'd be Matt. You want Matlock to be
I want Matlock.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think for me, if I was going to pick a president, I think really like Monk would be a better president.
Ooh.
Because he wouldn't want, you'd have no sexual scandals.
No sexual scandals.
Whatsoever. I mean, be like, and if anything came up, you'd be like, BS. I'm calling BS on that
one.
That ain't occurring.
Yeah, I want Monk.
Yeah, and then he'd see everything in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
He goes, well, here's our problem. I go, but oh, here's that one little thing here that if we, you know, don't do this, mm-hmm. it all goes to crap. Mm-hmm. You know, let's take care of this. You know, that's what I need.
Yeah.
I want Monk. You know, and then he has an assistant that kind of gives him wipes for his hands all everywhere, kind of keeps him in play, make sure he doesn't, like, you know, step in a pile of poop so he gets all freaked out, you know. But I think that's the case.
You like Monk.
I do like Monk. Yeah. You like Matlock? Well, yeah,
because I'm older than you.
Right. And I, if I was going to go, because I think I should have a female version of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously.
Jessica Fletcher.
Obviously, but she's getting kind of older now. I mean, mm-hmm. you know. Back in the day,
like yeah, we, it
when
should
she
be,
first did Murder, She Wrote, she,
yeah,
I would have loved she would be president. She, you know, we wouldn't have a sexual scandal. I don't think she ever did after her husband died.
No, she didn't. You she know? Had some kind of interesting relationships.
She, you know, but she never, like she was friends with the sheriff who had lost his wife.
Yeah,
and she was friends with the doctor
like that
who
spy.
Had lost her hair.
No, but
wife.
The spy though.
Oh, and then she had a spy friend. Yes.
That's the one.
That's the one.
He's the one that got away.
But she rode her bike all over town, and she always made a pie for people.
And she knew everybody. That's what you want.
Yes, and so she'd actually would make
okay,
pie
so
for
you
any
gotta
of the
have, dignitaries. You got to have you know, like Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
Yep.
And somebody that's going to like, oh, Chris, you got the flu. I'm going to bake a pie for you.
Right.
And you know what? I'd eat that pie and I'd feel better.
Right.
Because somebody cared about me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll make somebody care about you. You know, and that's how we have to do it now. We're building relationships one individual at a time, one pie at a time.
Yeah.
And it's made with gluten-free crust. And all is good in the world. Oh, we don't give a crap about gluten because in my world, gluten doesn't do anything to you.
Yeah.
It makes you just go feel warm inside and bring back all these great memories of grandma.
Yeah. In your world, gluten doesn't bloat you.
Yeah. Gluten does not. And
it makes
not
you feel happy.
Makes me feel happy and not an inflammatory thing.
That's right.
That would be awesome.
What happened to the world?
The world
what
got
happened
crazy.
To, everybody's a Nelly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking everybody's a little sissy Nelly.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Grow up.
Grab
eat some fucking gluten.
Go for it. Eat some gluten.
Get your fingers orange.
Yep. You know, drink that Coke with the artificial sweetener. Drink it now.
Well, maybe not that one. Have a beer at least.
Yeah, have a beer. Yeah. go smoke. Go vape outside. I was
watching this movie last night, Office Christmas Party.
Yeah.
Because we're in the middle. Not only were we in the middle of the flu, but we're in the middle of Snowmageddon here. And
yeah.
So everybody went out and we all bought like 10 movies for 10 days.
Yeah.
And I must say you got a really decently bad selection.
Yes, decently bad.
Yeah. And so I watched Office Christmas Party, which took place in Chicago, which was, at least it was fun to see all the city stuff. But there's these parents that can't get their kid, they can't get a sitter, so they have to bring him to the office Christmas party. And they get they gave him an iPad, and they're looking for a small office to stick him in, and they have to hurry because their edibles are going to kick in.
Oh my God.
So they're like trying to find a place to put this kid before their edibles kick in, and like, yeah, that's the world that we
live in. That's the world we live in. Well, it's funny you bring that up because I went to a Super Bowl party. So we had a Super Bowl, and it couldn't have been any better of a game. People were hoping that the Patriots would win or would lose. I think we were just tired of the Patriots always winning. We're like, yeah, you've won enough. You've won enough. Let's let the Eagles win, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was a great game. And so I went to a Super Bowl party, and I actually went to two. but it was funny. The first one I went to, it was obvious that there were some 30-somethings and late 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and they all had kids. They were leaving the party several times to go smoke, and not their cigarettes, to go toke some weed, you know, on their vape, you know? And one of the daughters who was old enough, you know, busted her dad's nuggets over this, saying, "Where you going, Dad? What you doing? Because don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm just going outside for a little bit and hang out with my sister and her friend. What you doing, Dad?" And she knew exactly what he was doing. You know, she's 16 years old.
Yeah,
he knows exactly what he's doing, and she's not happy with it.
No,
you're like, "Oh, really? You're going to go out there and toke?" That's great.
And he's also a parole officer.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, what's going on with that? You know, it's not totally legal here, people. And so it was interesting to hear that and to see, because I've expanded my brain to be open to that concept of people just toking on, you know, pot, whatever they want to. Like,
it's in front of their kids.
Because it's like alcohol, you know. Since I don't drink, I'm like, well, I should be open to it because alcohol is legal. What's the difference? In my mind, what is the difference? But to the 16-year-old girl, I can see that she thinks there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bugging her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? Maybe not do it in front of your daughter then.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is pressing her buttons. Like, hey, you guys can't be with me without token.
Mm-hmm.
You're just totally stressed out.
The house, like, so weird. It's like, oh, we're having a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be here. And it's not enough just to have beer and wings. You also got to have marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, like, I went through this phase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, marijuana this, marijuana that. And now I'm just like, no, I'm just crabby. Now I don't want marijuana.
Now I'm going to be literally making friends with my crabbiness and taking it with me wherever I go. And I will be showing it to everybody.
I'm going to have like a bracelet, you know, it's like, what would Jessica Fletcher do?
Oh, yeah.
Or what would Matlock do?
That's right. Or Monk.
Or Perry Mason.
But if I saw you have this bracelet, I'd want to stay away, because the one thing all those people have in common is usually the dead bodies that follow them wherever they go. I mean, holy shit. I mean, literally. Jessica, I mean, you think she'd even have friends left, because everywhere she goes in this little tiny island, there's another dead person. Well, luckily the tourist. Oh, my cousin came in from out of town from New York and died.
Yeah. When you see him come off the bus with their little suitcase.
Yeah. Sorry, girlfriend. Da, da, da. You're dying. This is your way, you know. And
well, those were like good times, though.
Yeah.
That time. You could go from Jessica Fletcher, you know, and it was just like sweet, and you know, she had the bike with a little basket that carried her little French bread and some flowers. And then right afterwards, you could go to like Heart to Heart.
Oh, yeah.
And like they were like wealthy and in love.
Yeah.
And they had all these awesome cars.
Yeah.
And they had a manservant.
Yeah.
That was like.
And a little doggy.
Yeah. It was like, that was the life I wanted.
Yeah, that was the life. Did you want that life, or did you want Jessica Fletcher's life?
I wanted them all.
You wanted it all.
I wanted. Because
what they both had in common was they both were happy.
Yeah, because I thought like, Stephanie Powers, I bet she had great sex.
Yeah.
And exciting life.
And she had nice red hair, which is what you
have. Yes, and she had nice, beautiful red hair.
And the truth is, and I Jessica have seen Fletcher. That hair on her. Her hair has been on your hair.
Yes.
Had it several times.
I would like Stephanie Powers. I want heart-to-heart hair.
And you've gotten it.
Yeah, I had at some point in time.
Yeah. You know, not now. It's no. A little foo-foo now.
Oh,
but.
Shut up.
But no,
her hair would be now. Yeah.
It would not work.
Yeah.
In the day.
But then, I would just want Jessica Fletcher. And because she was an author.
Right.
And you should get up in the morning, she'd have her coffee, and she'd sit at her kitchen table and type.
Type.
Yes. Not just on your computer.
Nope, and type. And remember that day she got a computer? Was it the first time she had transferred over?
And then the computer guy died.
That's right. And he's like, oh, no.
Oh, God. Technology kills.
Yeah, exactly. The progress. Not good.
Yeah, she went from being a little author in a kitchen to teaching college, to teaching university.
Yeah, and there you go.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But she lived a great life, though.
She did.
I mean, she'd do all these conferences. She'd be like woman of the year, writer of the year, and then teach. And she knew it. She was like our Aunt Irma.
She really
was. Aunt Irma knows everybody.
And she's in the same town. She knows everybody, loves everybody. And, you know, good old Lutheran woman, you know?
Yeah.
Teaches in the high school home ec. I'm like, do they even have home ec teachers anymore? I don't even know.
I don't know.
But that was her.
That was her dealio.
Her dealio.
And she,
she taught the women of the world how to bake and how to sew, how to be good wives and good Lutherans, you know?
Yeah. Whatever. We don't need Matlock. We need Aunt Irma.
We need Aunt Irma to be president.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need the new generation of Aunt Irma. Because I'll tell you what, she could micromanage anything.
She can. Like when you went with her to Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman was never married, had no children, but she's got like a boatload of children.
Yes.
And grandchildren.
Everybody loves Aunt Irma.
Even like their preacher, their preacher and his wife left to go someplace. And
Got a new gig,
and they left Irma their children.
Yeah. Their daughter. They had one daughter. Yeah.
And that daughter's got daughters now.
That she looks after, you know.
Yeah. And doggies.
So she's always been like that person. She's been the Jessica Fletcher of her small town.
Yeah.
Where she knows what everything's going on. She knows where all the bodies are buried. And everybody comes to her to solve their problems. Because you know what? You got a problem to solve. And Irma can solve it for you.
Yeah.
She'll put you on the right path. Ain't going to be easy.
No.
Not going to be easy, but she'll solve it for you. You know, and you're like, okay, Aunt Irma, we'll do it.
Aunt Irma called you last night and said, your Aunt Helen passed away.
Aunt Helen passed away.
95?
Five, I think. Yeah, 93, 95.
And really, she lived alone for until about a year ago.
Yes.
So pretty cool.
I mean, it almost seems too soon. You know, you realize that it's like, yeah, one moment you're there and then you're like, oh, wait, things are changing. And then they change fast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what happens in your 90s if you live to be in your 90s. Because I read a statistic or heard a statistic that if you make it to your 60s, you've got like a 90% chance to make it to your 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty awesome.
I know one of Norm's ex-girlfriends texted him and said one of their friends passed away last week of Alzheimer's, a female. And you think that's... You know, 60, whatever, 7, 8, and then, and then you hear somebody that lives an extra 30 years or whatever. That's a whole lifetime.
It is a whole lifetime. Yeah. It's a whole lifetime. The only thing is, it goes by so fast.
Yeah,
like that's one thing I notice. The older I get, how fast the years go by, and it doesn't faze me as much anymore. Like life doesn't faze me because I feel like it's going
to
be over.
I remember
soon
my dad. The week my dad died, I talked to him on that Sunday. And he said, oh, you know, I want you to tell Julie and Greg that I love them. And he just said something. I should have picked up on it. But he goes, and you know, it really was a quick life. It just happened so quick.
Right.
It's over in a flash.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like, you're so busy raising kids and you're, you know, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul and try to keep everything together that you miss those things. And I was telling you just this week, and because I've been having time to reflect and stuff, and I said, I wish that I had, for both my mom and dad, I wish that I had, if I could do just one thing for them, one more kind thing. I feel like my dad died like in the 80s. Yeah. And, you know, you guys were young and little, and I was like, just, and he died like 2 years after my brother died.
Right.
And that sort of ripped the whole family apart. So his death was like, not, you know what
secondary,
I mean?
Like
secondary to my brother dying. Yeah. And I was like, I wish I could have done one kind thing to him now. Right. Like, I remember he was still, I go, oh, please scratch my back. Yeah. Please scratch my back. And for whatever reason, I hated to do that.
Yeah.
And I would, like, maybe do it for a minute and then stop.
Yeah.
And, like, now I just, like, go, Dad, let me scratch your back. I'd do that. Or I was, like, I'd be, like, trying to do something nice for Mom, which would be hard to do. Because no matter what you did, she wouldn't. But
yeah.
I thought it'd just be, you know, if you just could do one thing over again.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about this, because I remember reading, we got Jordan Peterson's new book, The 12 Rules to Live By,
yeah.
From Chaos to Order, something yeah. like that.
And Jordan is amazing.
Yeah, it's a hard
for
book
this
to,
time.
Yeah, it's a hard book to read because there's just so...
it's a hard book to read, but it is for this time
yeah.
and for these people.
Yes.
It couldn't have been written in the 70s or 80s.
I don't think
so. It just couldn't have been. Because books like that were written in the 70s and 80s, but we don't have that kind of language now.
Right.
Everything has a freaking political aspect to
right.
it. Even Jungian psychology. Right. Unfortunately.
Well, but what he wrote in the book, I just remember this because I was reading it yesterday, and he talked about, you know, try to do one kind thing for your parents.
Oh, did
you?
Really?
That was so interesting because yeah. that's exactly what you said.
I did say that.
And I thought, oh, wow.
This is crazy.
Well, it's crazy because you've been so intuitive lately.
Yeah.
Well, you had a Mayan calendar reading. And you did it kind of because your friend kind of, not blackmailed you, but, you know, she kind of gave you a couple of references like, oh, I had this done. Why don't you have it done too? And you're like, all right, I'll do it. And mostly, it's like nothing you don't know. I mean, you're right. an intuitive person. You read this stuff. You're like, what is he going to tell you? And so you met with somebody. It was a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
I liked it. He was probably in his 80s, you think, or 70s.
I don't know. But he was on TV. And...
Yeah. Pretty well known.
Yeah.
Great reading. And the one thing he told you was you have this, he told you you're a shaman, which, yes, of course you are. We knew that. Mm-hmm. But he talked about you being like your animal was the rabbit.
My
and the
spirit
rabbit
animal.
And the moon.
Yeah.
And I go and he says, you know, Google it and Wikipedia it and read up on the rabbit and the moon. And I started doing that because I listened to the conversation mm-hmm. you asked. And he's like, well, sure, I guess, mm-hmm. you know. So I listened to the conversation and he had said to you, well, in the Wikipedia, it talked about how there's the moon goddess and it's Change, C-A-N-G, you know, E.
Right.
And her companion is the rabbit.
Yes.
And he suggested that, you know, go find a rabbit. And I'm like, please, dear God, don't say we'd get a rabbit for a pet because we are not having a rabbit for a pet. That is not going to effing happen. I'm sorry to say it's not going to happen. And he said, no, or go to a petting zoo and look at that rabbit and see what he's learning to tell you
yeah.
and teach you because... And then he said this, which I thought was profound, because we've been reading about this in Jordan's book, too, Jordan Peterson's mm-hmm. book. It's like the ones who suffer the most are here to teach us the most.
Yes.
And he talked about you having to suffer a lot in this
right.
lifetime.
Right.
And or this moment for sure in time.
Right.
And you have felt that for sure. And
yes.
that time will probably end on the 19th of February. I'm like, woohoo!
Partey
time. No more suffering. And I said, hey, Mom, guess what's going on? And you're like, what? Because you're crabby ass girl, because you're still sick. He says, what's going on? What other shoe has dropped? Tell me now. I'm like, well, okay. There's a rabbit living right behind the house. He has taken shelter from the snowstorm underneath our like fire pit
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it's made like a little igloo and he's like in there.
Oh, it's so
chilling.
Beautiful.
He was there for hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Just
and
beautiful.
I took pictures of him And you're like, wow, I didn't have to go to a petting zoo to see a rabbit.
No, I'm he
like,
just came.
No, he just magically came. Yeah. I go, this is so awesome. I go, and so you saw it, and you're like, this is a, and it's a big, big old, beautiful rabbit.
Beautiful rabbit. You know, like not a, like a little skinny, scared one.
And not like a foo-foo rabbit that you would see at a petting zoo, you know, all white and like, ooh, I'm a jackrabbit. This is a big old, you know.
Solid
rabbit that like not even a hawk would mess with. Like,
and I'm here, and I'm by your house, Chrissy.
Yeah, and exactly. And then I looked. And when I came back, we went out and we come back and he was gone, but, or he or she, I don't know what it was, but I like, you know, we had fresh snow. I'm like, where did he go? And I just saw like these big, huge jumps. So he had a jump into the snow.
Really big.
Really big. And I thought, well, that could be something that to focus on. Like,
yes.
are you being asked to make some big leaps forward? Yeah. You know, without a net,
right?
You know, into the snow,
right?
Which is you can't see above the snow sometimes. No. That bunny rabbit couldn't see.
And also, the snow is so transformational.
Oh yeah, it very much is.
It does. Right? It does. It really is a clarifier.
Yeah.
You know, of things. It sounds. And another interesting thing since we're talking about this, is a few mornings ago. We gathered together. It was probably around 6 o'clock. I said, Julie, I had the weirdest. It wasn't even a dream. I said, I woke up this morning and I heard the words, defend the antelope.
Yes.
And I said, and I told
clear
you,
I said,
I said, it's clear as day. I said, it was a female voice and it was British.
Yes.
And I said, what do you think that means? And it was clear as a bell.
Yeah.
Defend the antelope. And you said, let me just like, you
Google
know,
it
Google
and,
it or something.
Bing it or
so
whatever.
All you did was defend, you Googled defend the antelope. And there was this article that came up from 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was an audio.
Yeah.
And it
like
was
a little excerpt from a news episode, you know. And it was a British archaeologist or a British somebody.
Female.
You know, female. And she was talking about how what's going on is that we're having a huge kill off of the antelope. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of antelope.
And this was like 2 years
dying.
Ago. Yeah. And they don't know why.
They don't know why. And I thought, well, that's
And it was the exact same voice.
Yeah.
That I heard in my dream.
And there's no reason for you to
or
connect
not
with
my
it.
Dream,
it was
but
2 years ago.
Yeah. It wasn't.
So there's no reason. And I thought.
But there's these things that are happening.
Yeah.
And you said to me, you know, Mom, I think you're being asked to pay attention, first of all, so that when something comes,
right,
and you're meant to listen,
yeah,
and then you're meant to do it.
Right. So we take action. When you hear these things, you take action immediately, even if it doesn't really provide, like, well, big deal.
Right.
Well, no, it's preparing the way for you to have that big deal.
Right.
And in the midst of all that, you're doing the work.
Right.
You're doing the work.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fascinating.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. So congratulations. That never happens to me. But
it's so kind of funny because the guy that, you know, for the Mayan calendar reading, I mean, he talked about me being a shaman.
Right.
And intuitive, and he said, well, what do you consider yourself? How would you?
Oh yeah, that's funny.
It was kind of threw me off. I said, well, I'm a psychopomp.
Yeah.
And you went, excuse me, Mom?
Oh yeah, I have. I wrote that word down. I have never heard my mother say that she's a psychopomp.
I know. And but it's interesting because that's kind of what I actually have always done that.
Yeah.
Because even when I was a child, I would stay after school and go to the church.
Yeah.
And I would, sometimes I would be there for an hour, which is a long time for a kid, an hour and a half just saying ejaculations, which
excuse me.
Which would be what you would do to help someone get to heaven.
Yeah.
You know? And this is what I do now. And he said, you know, the spirit is telling me that you must charge for this.
You must start charging
and
for this.
And I thought, how funny is that?
Yeah.
Because what a psychopomp does is takes the dead and makes sure they get transitioned appropriately and well. And I'm like, well, how does that person pay for that? And you and I have decided that they must prepay.
Well, like a burial thing, you know. I saw this big billboard and it said, you know, you always said you'd never be caught dead in this dress. well, now it's time to plan your funeral. And I'm like, shit. And I thought to myself, we could have you right there. It's like, you know, you always thought you might need help transitioning over.
Right.
It's time for you to book your appointment for your psycho pump.
Right.
Is that what a psycho pump?
Yes.
And I thought to myself, well, this is very interesting. And I and I thought, because you've been really desiring, you said, I just want to tell people what I do, but I don't know what to do. And I'm, because, you know, we were doing our Amazon, we have a dog business and all right. that stuff. And like, yeah, I can get behind that. Like,
yeah.
I have a little dog business on Amazon, yeah. you know, bark to school. You're like, great. Okay, cool. And now you're like, am I ready to come out as a psycho pump? And am I ready to say, oh yeah, Christy, my mommy, yeah, she's a psycho pump. They're like,
psycho, huh?
A psycho pump. I don't know what that is. Oh, and well, let me define it for you.
Go to your dictionary.
It's a creature or a fairy that helps people transition over to the other side. I go, but creature is a liberal definition,
right?
You know,
and it's not necessarily. It's not like you transition from life to death,
right?
It's transitioning from death to where you're supposed to go,
right?
And a lot of people,
right.
really, really do need help. They get stuck, yeah.
And I would hope that if I died first, that you'd help me. You know, I think it would maybe be too painful for you. I don't know. Yeah. I remember hearing, and we're actually almost out of the showtime. I know. Can you believe it? And I didn't even talk about my poor guy. I got to talk about real quick. Okay, two things real quick. I remember watching Tyler, whatever, that psychic or whatever, medium, and he was talking to Lisa Vanderpump.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was always upset because she felt like she had a good connection with her grandmother, and her grandmother wasn't connecting with her from over the mm-hmm. other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go, I get you, Lisa, because if that happened to me, I would be upset if you didn't contact me.
Right.
I'd be like, Mom, why haven't you I'm listening. Why haven't you contacted me?
What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. And I thought to myself, maybe because you'd be so busy, everybody coming to you like, oh my God, and now I've got huge
now
purpose.
She's charging.
Yeah, now she's charging. Her palace is really filled with gold. Yeah. And so that's one thing. And then quickly, because I promised everybody I talk really quick about my Walmart experience. And we're over after the show. But anyway, I'm in Walmart, and there's this 85-year-old man who is a checkout. He's been there for years. I know him, and he's a cyclist. And I said, oh, have you been riding lately? He goes, no, but I put in 1,500 miles last summer, which is good. He goes, usually I do about 3,000, but I'm getting a little older, so I put in 1,500 miles on my bike. I'm like, good for you. And he goes, and then he always tried to do a really great job checking me out. And mm-hmm. and I get out my bags. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I always make sure you get all your bags. Otherwise, they're going to make me go outside, and I'm going to have to be outside. Because if I don't give everybody their bags, they said I can't be a checker, and I have to work outside. And I'm like, oh, no. I just felt like, boy, Walmart's gotten tough. I mean,
what?
Can't he just be like a greeter or something? I'm like, this poor old guy.
You're going to go outside.
You're going to go outside. I'm like, that's like, that has to be abuse. It's like this
that's
poor
crazy.
Little guy. I mean, and it's so funny because he's a strong man, but he looks like a man who's been weathered because he's been outside his whole life cycling.
Yeah.
And he looks like a guy who, like, his body has been formed into the guy who cycles. So his head is, like, tilted in a certain way. You could literally see that
The
bike on him.
Wow.
Like, his head and his back have curved. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're a cyclist, you know, and so forth. So I just want to share that because I just felt so bad for him.
Well, we have to
that he's going to be punished.
Oh, my God.
If something else. And I'm thinking, dude, I go through these checkouts all the time, and the young millennials screw up all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't make them go outside.
Yeah.
You know?
I always think, though, like, there's like a couple of the Walmart dudes that are the outside dudes.
Yeah.
And I always kind of think they're pretty cool because they're just like hardy.
And they're like cool. Like, hey, look
but
at
they
me.
Do like, I can almost see it because the one dude, his body is like in the shape of pushing a cart.
Yeah. So pushing the car so long, it just looks like they've frozen,
and you don't know why. Like the door or whatever you call it, between the outside and the inside of Walmart, where you push the carts through. You don't know why they couldn't have made it so you could stand up and do that.
Right. Why is it a half door?
Why does he have to bend over?
Yeah. What was that about?
And that's how he has to walk his whole life now.
It's tragic.
He just walks like that.
It's tragic. Hey, well, thanks everyone for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. For our first week back from having the flu. We'll say it was good. Was it good? Okay.
It was good.
Have a great week. Bye. It was great.